Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading from Daniel chapter 12. It's not very often that we get to hear from the book of Daniel on a Sunday morning. Those of you who have ever had the chance to study Daniel, you might know that the first half of the book of Daniel is filled with all of those famous Sunday school stories like Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. But the second half of Daniel is filled with what we call apocalyptic prophecy. So in other words, Daniel is sharing with us some information about the end of the world, the end times. And so here in Daniel chapter 12, we just have a couple verses here, and Daniel is describing one of these end times moments. And I don't know how often you think about the end times. Maybe sometimes we feel like it's kind of scary or we just don't know enough about it. But I really want to just focus as we begin the sermon on the second half of verse 1 where Daniel says, "At that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book." So there's absolutely nothing for us to worry about. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm really glad to see that all of you survived, that you persevered, that you pressed on, that only by the grace of God were you able to live another day in what could only have been called Snowmageddon 2018. I guess that's probably a little bit of an overstatement, but man, watching the news coverage on Wednesday as we were getting ready for the snow to come in later that night, you really would have thought that the world was about to end or something. It was like in the morning, it said, you know, there was probably going to be like 2 to 4 inches of snow, and then by noontime, it was increased to like 4 to 6 inches of snow. By 3 o'clock, the prediction was like 8 inches of snow. And I sat down and I watched the 5 o'clock news, and they kept cutting live to all the grocery stores in the St. Louis metro area. And people are standing in these really long lines, and they're buying bread, and they're buying eggs, and they're buying milk, because apparently, if you think you're going to be snowed in for a week, you really want to make sure that you can still make French toast. And don't get me wrong, I was pretty excited about the possibility of a heavy snow, too. I actually grew up loving snow. I still love snow. I grew up in snowy New England, Connecticut. In fact, the same system that hit us on Thursday, early Thursday morning, by Thursday evening, it had dumped like 10.5 inches of snow in some parts of New England. That's what I was used to. That's what I loved. I have so many great memories of playing in the snow with my family every single winter. And so honestly, I've been missing the snow around here lately. The last 2 winters have been kind of mild. And before that, I lived in South Texas, which basically was like living on the surface of the sun. I mean, it never snowed there. So I was honestly hoping that this was going to turn out to be Snowmageddon. And I know that that's probably an unpopular opinion. But after all of the commotion, we woke up the next morning. What did we see on the ground? Like 2.5, 3 inches of snow. You know, it's already gone, right? There's a couple tiny little piles that still haven't melted yet. But honestly, Snowmageddon was pretty anticlimactic, wouldn't you say? Now, looking back on all this, and as I was getting ready for the sermon this morning, it got me thinking, you know, isn't it crazy how often the weather reports are just completely wrong, right? Like with all of today's modern technology and all of the advances we have in science and you know, all of these, you know, computer models and satellite images from outer space, it's still amazing to me that the meteorologists are fooled over and over and over again. And who can get away with that, by the way, right? Like how many of us could be wrong more often than we're right and still expect to get some sort of a paycheck, you know? But basically every single day, the weather people are giving us their best guess. It's an educated guess, I'll admit that, but it's really just a guess. And it was kind of funny because I was watching on Wednesday night, you know, we were kind of staying up waiting to hear if school was going to be canceled and things like that. And on TV, we had Fox Channel 2 on for part of the night. And Glenn Zimmerman, who's recently taken over for Dave Murray as the head weather guy over there, he was giving his long-range winter forecast on Wednesday night. Maybe some of you saw it. And I remember I was just thinking, like, what kind of a fool does this man take me for? Because he's trying to predict, like, whether we're going to have a white Christmas. Half the time, these guys don't know if we're even going to have, like, a white tomorrow. And so I just think, you know, I'll give him an A for effort, but that's about all I can do, I think. So I thought, anyway, I thought this morning, I've been inspired by Glenn Zimmerman. I want to give you my own long-range forecast this morning. But hopefully it'll be a little bit more accurate than what we're used to hearing on the news. Today, what I want to tell you is this. The end is near. But I don't mean that in some crazy way. You know, like the guy on the street corner who wears the sandwich board sign and blows, you know, he's got a bullhorn, he's yelling to everybody who walk past. I don't mean that. But I think if we're all honest, like, we can look around and we see things around us are coming to an end. Thanksgiving is later this week, like I mentioned before. Usually when we celebrate Thanksgiving, that's one signal to us that the end of the calendar year is coming, right? So there's not much more to come when it comes to the year 2018. The church year calendar is also coming to an end. Next week, next Sunday, is actually already the last Sunday of the church year. And whenever we get to this point in the liturgical calendar, our readings start to focus on a different kind of ending. So the passages that we get to read at the end of the church year usually point us to the end of the world as we know it. And it's certainly true when we're talking about our Old Testament reading from Daniel today. It's also true in the gospel reading from Mark chapter 13. Jesus is explaining to his disciples that there's going to be a day when the temple in Jerusalem is destroyed, but then he goes on to talk about wars and rumors of wars, and all of these things remind us that our time on earth is short, and the day is coming soon when our Lord Jesus will return, just as he promised to do about 2,000 years ago. So today I want to take a closer look at this short reading from Daniel here, because I feel like this is one of those weeks where the Lord has just kind of thrown us a softball, or maybe I should say like a snowball, right? But who would have thought that the Sunday after we had this big Snowmageddon prediction that turned out to be not so serious, that the Lord would give us an Old Testament reading that actually is referring to the real biblical Armageddon? And not only that, but toward the end of this passage, there's actually somewhat of a weather report that the Lord gives us, and I'll explain that in a second. I just think it's amazing how God pulls all these themes together sometimes. So when you look here in this passage from Daniel, starting out in verse 1, Daniel is talking about Saint Michael. And Michael, of course, is described in this passage as being a great prince, but we also know from other portions of Scripture, particularly in the book of Revelation, that Michael is more than just a prince. He's actually one of the archangels. In fact, Michael and Gabriel are the only two angels that are named in Scripture. And Michael is described as the one who is in charge of God's heavenly army. He's the one that leads the angels in battle against all of the evil forces in this universe. And in this particular passage, Daniel says that Michael is the one who's in charge during this time, which is quoted as a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. So basically, when it gets as bad as it could possibly be, that's when the archangel Michael is in charge. Essentially, what Daniel is describing here is that great battle of Armageddon. You've got the army of God going up against the army of Satan in this great last cosmic battle just before the Lord returns and restores all things. Now, it's interesting because Armageddon is actually similar to Snowmageddon in this one way. For 2,000 years, Christians have been predicting, forecasting, when Armageddon would be, when that last day would come. And for 2,000 years now, every single generation of Christians has been wrong so far. But I think one of the reasons why ever since Jesus ascended into heaven, his disciples have believed that he would probably return in their lifetime, I think that's because of passages like this. Because we know that the Bible teaches us that the world is going to get worse and worse and worse, and it's pretty much going to be just as bad as it could ever be right before Jesus returns. And I think we're in the same boat too. You know, we look at the world around us and we see all kinds of trouble in our country, in our world. I think sometimes we're tempted to say things like, could it possibly get any worse than it is right now? We see how difficult it is to live in this world as a faithful follower of God. We feel threatened by the sinful world around us. We feel enslaved by the sin that's within us. And so one of the hopes of the Christian church from all times has been that all of this life, this earthly life, with all of its problems and all of its troubles, this life is only temporary. And it's all going to be fixed when Jesus returns. So we actually pray for that day to come. And we pray for that day to come quickly. That's what we're doing every time in the Lord's Prayer. We say, "Thy kingdom come." That's one of the things that we mean. We're actually asking God for the end of the world to hurry up and get here. I don't know if you realize that, but that's one of the things that we do. Now, I'm not going to try to be like Pastor Glenn Zimmerman and try to give you my long-range forecast and tell you exactly when the last day is going to come. Because honestly, I don't know, and nobody else knows either. But what I can do is I can point you to what Scripture says. Scripture gives us a spiritual weather report for the end times, and Daniel actually puts it very clearly here in verse 3. He says, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." So there it is, plain and simple. For the followers of Jesus, for you and me, and for all the saints who are clothed in the righteousness of Christ and sealed with his blood, the end of the world will be sunny and bright forever and ever. There won't be a cloud in the sky. There won't be a tear in our eye either. Because our Lord is going to take away the threat of stormy weather in a spiritual and in a physical sense forever and ever. And this is a forecast that you can actually count on to be true. There may be millions of things in the world that are uncertain. You know, there may be all kinds of weather reports out there that you feel like you've got to take with a grain of salt. But this right here, this is something that comes directly from the mouth of God. This is something that you can take as gospel truth, because that's what it literally is. This is good news for all eternity. So when you hear that the end of the world is coming, and the forecast sounds a little bit scary maybe, remember not to fall for all the hype. Because there's absolutely nothing to fear. In Christ, we will always see the sun. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.